I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, my friends across the USA and parts unknown, because we know that America Out Loud goes out across the world. Everywhere people are listening. So we got a lot of things going on, interesting things, and I'm going to connect to a previous episode about people who don't have any idea and the difference between what one group thinks and another group thinks. And I compared Republican thinking to Democrat thinking or liberal thinking to conservative thinking the other day. Well, there's a TV show out there that, in all honesty, I don't really watch, but it's constantly commented on, I guess, because it's the hosts who are on, it's The View, all right, the show The View. And the hosts that are on there, I think there are four women, I'm not sure. It's four or five. And there's three very liberals. Whoopi Goldberg is on there. And then there's one conservative usually, or a semi-conservative host on there. And the liberals just spout their liberal ideas and politics. And it's kind of embarrassing. If I was a liberal, I would be very embarrassed having these women up there pushing my point of view, because I guess they're all very nice people in real life. I always liked Whoopi Goldberg, and I liked what she was a great actress, and she was funny. But politically, she's just I don't know. I guess it's naive, stupid. I'm not sure. But all of them, they're just interesting. So recently, there was a understanding that we've had a major eclipse in the United States, right? Big eclipse. It hasn't happened in, 80 years, won't happen again until 2070 something. So it was a big deal. We also had a 4.8 magnitude earthquake in New Jersey, of all places. Kind of strange. It happens. The last one, I think, was in 2011, and it was a smaller one. But we do have fault lines running past New Jersey, and, in most places there are some fault lines all over. And then we have the hearing about the cicadas. The cicadas are those bugs. When I was a kid, we used to call them katydids. Katydid, that kind of thing. And they make this loud buzzing sound. Usually you get them in July and then August. There's a 17-year version of these bugs where apparently they come out, they do their thing, they mate, they lay their eggs underground, and they're underground for 17 years. And then they emerge, and they're very loud. So last year was supposed to be on the east coast of the United States an unbelievable cicada explosion, and it wasn't that bad. It was as normal as it is every year. It's an interesting bug. So I think they have different life periods for these cicadas. Some are 17 years, some are every 3 years, whatever it is. But we're supposed to be inundated across the United States with these cicadas, these two different kind of cicadas, that it's going to be the biggest cicada explosion in 100 years or something, whatever the timeline is. It's drastic, whatever it is. So these are three naturally occurring things on a timeline that you got to figure, the eclipse has nothing to do with the Earth other than you can see it from here. Right? The moon is going around the Earth like it does, and it has for billions of years. We can now plot out its exact path, which is good. We can see where it's supposed to be when. That's very helpful scientifically. And every once in a while, from different parts of the world, it will pass directly in front of the sun, creating an eclipse, a partial eclipse, a full eclipse, whatever it is. And we know when these things occur, right? They're not mysteries anymore. We know what it is. It's simply the moon passing between the sun and the Earth. And on the Earth, you get the shadow of the moon blocking out the light of the sun. It's very, very interesting. It was very interesting. So we've had one of those very recently. Then we had this earthquake, and now we have these cicadas. Now, earthquakes are naturally occurring events based on plate tectonics. The top layer of Earth, this rock, is moving around on top of liquid rock, liquid metal at the center of the Earth and all of that. And we know that there's California has a big fault, the San Andreas, and there's many other faults in California, and they have earthquakes on a regular basis. The center of the country has earthquakes in the, I think it's in the 1800s, 1847. I could have that date wrong, but it's the 1800s. There was an earthquake in the middle of the country so big, it changed the direction of the Mississippi River. It changed it at the end where it flows into the Gulf of Mexico. So these are all naturally occurring things that have been happening for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years. They occur. All the time. There's nothing that we do that creates these things to speed up or not speed up. The bugs, they live on a life cycle that's been going on for millions of years. We have nothing to do with it, right? And on this show, The View, just to show you, and the comparison here is in, you know, people speak, they say something, and they could be completely wrong, but for certain factors that are into the process, they are considered learned or knowledgeable or smart, when really they just stunad, and they say stupid things because it's how they feel or what they've been told or what they believe. So this host, Sunny Hostin, is that how you say your name? Sunny Hostin? Sunny Hostin? I don't know the woman. I've never seen her. I just read about her and heard about this controversy the other day. She comes out and she makes a statement, something about, well, we've had an eclipse, these cicadas, and the earthquake. You know, could this all be related to climate change? Think about that. Think about how stupid that is. That is like that congressman, and I can't remember his name. He was saying that, I think it was Guam or one of the islands in the Pacific could flip over. You know, had no idea it's part of the ground that's sticking above the water, but he thought it was an island, was floating around, it could flip over. People have these commentaries, they say things that are bizarre and strange and stupid. Now, I say things stupid, you say things stupid. Every once in a while, we all say something that's stupid. The thing is, you know, for me personally, when I tell you I can't remember somebody's name, I tell you that for a reason. I know who the person is, but I don't know the specific name. Sometimes I look it up if I think it's, if the name is important. If I don't know the exact date, I tell you, I don't know the exact date, right? Because I have some information, there's a lot of information running around in my head. And I know certain things, and when I need to be specific, I go pin them down because I'm here on a radio program. So when I want to give you specifics about something, I will deal with it more seriously. If I was on a TV show, like this woman, I would probably talk to somebody, a producer of the show, and say, hey, listen, do you think the cicadas, the earthquake, and the eclipse are all related to climate change? And that person, unless they are stunad as well, would probably turn around and go, well, the rotation of the moon has nothing to do with somebody driving an SUV and having, you know, fossil fuels be used. That has nothing to do with the moon. And the cicadas, well, they've been around for millions of years and they do this all the time. So that's not related to it either. And as far as the earthquake, well, that really has nothing to do with people and climate change. The fact that there are bigger storms or smaller storms or whatever. You think a producer would say that to this person so they don't go out there and embarrass themselves and look stupid, because unfortunately she looks stupid when she says a thing like that. And that on that show, what we get is clips from that all the time because it's a popular show. I'll give them that. It's a popular daytime show, but the opinions that are on there, like I said, if I was a liberal, I'd be embarrassed by half the things they say, because they don't say things that are always correct, is my point. So that's pretty interesting. I just thought I would mention that because this is part of that conversation I was having. You know, what do people have to say? Where do you get your information from? And I think there's probably a lot of people that are going, wow, I don't, maybe it is climate change. Maybe it is evil United States of America and people driving SUVs and burning fossil fuels instead of wearing hats with the twirlers on them to make electricity. Maybe that is what caused that earthquake. Maybe that's why them cicadas. Could you see this? This is absolute. I don't have a word for it. It's stupid, and it lowers our conversation. But that is that is a symptom, I think, of where we are in the United States. You know, people, a lot of people have said, can you imagine our enemies looking at us and reviewing America? There are a lot of people talking about America is on a downward spiral. Now, first of all, I have to differentiate in my head, because I don't disagree with some of that. I've even postulated here on this program that I think all the things people fear about the revolution that's going to take down the United States and all that kind of thing doesn't have to be a hot revolution. It's a cold revolution, kind of like the Cold War. And unfortunately, I think we're already there. We're already pretty much dumbed down. We are already pretty much come apart. We have half the country that can't talk to the other half of the country. We got half the country who believes nonsense like this, climate change caused the eclipse. You know, we have people who believe those kind of things, and they believe it in their heart, and they believe that Joe Biden and the Democrats will save them from the evil Republicans who want more eclipses, who want more cicadas to get you, right? They want to kill off everybody. It is shocking, and I can only imagine our enemies who, for all their negativity, I'm talking about Putin, Xi in China, the Venezuela guys, all these negative forces out there, North Korea, Kim Jong-un, and all these people. If I could, I would remove them all from power, and I would help their countries find some form of republic or democracy where they could live in freedom and decency. That would be my wish, if I could wave a wand and have that happen. I'd remove despotic kind of leaders from the world, because they're not good for the world, right? They end up causing problems. But with all of the problems that they cause, they certainly don't give in to this nonsense that we are living here in America every single day. They just don't, you know, they don't put up with that kind of stuff. So who was it? And again, see here what I'm doing? I know the writer reporter's name. I just can't think of it at the moment. But he came out with recently a list of 11 things that appear that our friends on the left have done to the United States to destroy it. And it was, you know, open the border and let everybody in, terrorists, good people, criminals, murderers, rapists, let them all in, you know, wipe out the border, which they've done. We have no border right now. We have a border. We just don't enforce anything there. There are laws that our government should be following. You know, the President of the United States is the number one law enforcement officer in the country, and he's supposed to make sure that the laws are followed. That's his, right? He takes an oath, right? And all that, he's going to do it. But so you break down the borders, you destroy the economy, you destroy the free flow of natural energy, gas and oil from the country. You demoralize the people. And it was really an amazing article. And when you think about those 11 things that he wrote about, and there's probably more. I was thinking about giving it some thought. You know, there's probably more. But the reality is, why would you do any of those things to your country? So this is where I can see our enemies, who are tyrannical kind of people. They don't sit there and worry about what bathroom we should all use. That's not part of their conversation. They're not worrying about whether we should put propellers on our airplanes that are there to make electricity so we can fly, right? As opposed to making the thrust from a jet engine. They're not thinking about those kind of things. It's only here in America and in some parts of Western Europe where they have these kind of ideas, that people have these ideas in their head that, you know, eclipses and bugs come from climate change, which I find interesting. The other day, I read an article that the ice that has amassed in the south, at the South Pole, is at like a 19-year high. There's so much ice in the past year that it's a 19-year high. So, how's the world melting? Is there climate change? Well, I think there probably is, but there's always been climate change. Right, the climate has been changing. I was watching a special the other night because I like these things about the Earth and history and all that. And there was they were talking about 10,000 years ago or 12,000 years ago, the last ice age. Well, what happened to all that ice? You know, I'm here in New Jersey, and apparently there was like 2 miles of ice over my head if I was here 12 or 13,000 years ago during the last ice age. But then what happened? Well, first of all, it all froze, right? You got the ice age, and then it all melted. Now, there were no SUVs 12,000 years ago. There was no fossil fuels being burned 12,000 years ago. And this is what I'm talking about, common sense. You have to look at these things. Is there climate change? Yes, the climate here has always been changing. We are on a rock spinning around a star in the middle of nowhere in outer space. Everything about this planet is controlled by that star. The amount of energy we receive, the fluctuations in heat and energy that comes from the sun affects the atmosphere here. One of the things, what did they say the other day during the eclipse? They said when there's totality and all of the light from the sun is blocked, the temperature will drop quickly. So, well, how could that be such a big deal? Well, all the light disappeared. It was dark in the middle of the day and the temperature dropped. Two gigantic effects that just having an eclipse blocking the sun's energy and power caused here on Earth. So 15,000 years ago, whenever it was, 12,000 years ago, and it was a ice age, and then something happened, and the ice melted. It receded. It drew back. Well, scientists, they go and they look, and they go into there's different methods that they have. I'm not going to go into all that, where they can go back in time looking at the ice, and they can tell when there was more ice, less ice. And about every 70,000 years, there's an ice age, right? About every 70,000 years, there's an ice age. Something happens. Now, could that be based on where we're circling the galaxy? I think they said we've been around the galaxy 22 times since the whole thing, you know, the Big Bang, and when we came into being, and we have this galaxy here. So if the Earth has been around there 22 times, and we go back and we can see these ice ages, is it possible that depending on where we are in that galaxy as we go around, as we circle the central part of the galaxy, that as we go around, there's different conditions that lead to cooling and warming and cooling and warming. It's funny because there's also warming or cooling or whatever on other planets. Well, I don't think there's any SUVs on Mars other than that little rover, and that's electric powered. You know, that's an EV kind of a vehicle. So I don't like to delve into specifics of things I really don't know about, but I do know a little about this whole concept. It makes common sense to me that if we've had multiple ice ages and then multiple melting of the ice and the receding of the ice line, that this is a natural process. This has nothing to do with fossil fuels. Now, can fossil fuels pollute the air? Yes, of course. And should we do everything we can to not have polluted air? Yes, of course. We should do the best we can there. But do we stop using fossil fuels, the energy that drives all of civilization? No, we should not do that. That is stupid. Until we have something that is economically feasible, that is plentiful, and that can actually do the job we need. And I've said it a million times, when you can put a prop or something, some kind of a wind farm or something on top of Air Force One and get it to fly around at 600 miles an hour, then I'll say, okay, looks like that technology is here. But until then, we need these fossil fuels. We need to drill, baby, drill. That's right. The more fuel we have, the better off our society is. I know people who are not making a lot of money, and now they have to put $3.70 a gallon gasoline into their car. Well, that chews up a lot of their money, of their paycheck, just to get to work, right? It would be much better if it was $1 a gallon or $1.40 a gallon than $3.60, $3.70, right? Of course it would. Everything that you eat, drink, sleep on, everything is delivered by a truck. You know how much it costs those truckers to fill them trucks up to bring that stuff around? And to think that we're going to get rid of it, shut it all down, it's going to be EV cars in 3 years, is idiocy. is idiocy. Is it a good idea to work towards alternate kinds of energies? Renewable? Absolutely yes. Let's work on wind farms and solar and all of these other things, nuclear. Let's work on these things. But we can't change our entire society until they are prepared and ready to step in and take the place of fossil fuels. And it's not now. And it probably won't be for another 50 or 60 or 100 years. Right? But in the meantime, we're going to damage our society. And again, our enemies look over here and see America, the leader of the world for, you know, the last 70, 80 years. And they go, America's getting rid of their, they're not pumping their own oil. They're buying it from their enemies. And their enemies raise the price, and then it changes their economy. And they must be laughing at us. They must be laughing at us. It is so stupid. And I guess I have a theory. I guess my theory about why people become so stupid and come up with all these crazy ideas is about prosperity. You know, think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? So at the base, you have the basic things that human beings need to function, right? They need food, water, they need shelter, and security. Now, if we look back at human endeavor and we say, think about America in the 1800s as we were growing, you know, what did people want? They wanted a homestead. They wanted to be able to farm so they had food, and they wanted to be able to protect their family. And they worked very, very hard at this all day and night long. This was a 24/7 activity. You had lots of children, so the children could help on the farms, and you had, you know, more labor and helpfulness, right? We have been that way until probably the 1940s, after World War II, when we mechanized so well and we fought that war. It changed a lot of our systems, a lot of our production capabilities. We saw different things, and we modernized, right? So then we had the 50s, we had the 60s, which were great, the 70s. Now we have a modern society where people are not out just trying to find food all day long and making sure they have shelter, right? Covering those basics of Maslow's hierarchy. We now have free time. See, because you can't write a poem, you can't write a play, you can't make a movie if you don't have shelter, you're not secure, and you have no food to eat or drink, right? So you have to take care of those things before the upper parts of human brain work can take place, right? You can't be creative if you're busy trying to feed yourself all day or keep lions out of your house or whatever. All right, so when I talk to my father-in-law, Ted, who's our number one fan here, and he listens to every show on the network, but he particularly likes mine. Ted is 90 years old now, 91 pretty soon, and Ted's been around for a long time, and he remembers his parents. I think his mother was born in the late 1800s, right? And we think that's such a long time ago, but it's really not. But his mother was born in the late 1800s. It was a struggle, even here in America, every day to make sure you had food. He tells me stories that they used to have, you know, meat once a week. You know, they used to make soup out of bones, soup bones, and they ate some vegetables. Having meat was a big deal. We have a lot of meat now, don't we? Aren't we very prosperous here in America, right? After the 1940s and the 1950s, suddenly everyone has cars. We have televisions in our house. Everybody ended up having TVs in the 1960s. The TVs got better. Now we all got flat screens. We got multiple cars. You know, most people have a house if they want to work hard, or they have a place they can rent that's really very nice. I think they were doing a study, and even the very, very poor in America have an income from different social programs or whatever, like $26,000 or $30,000. They can get phones from the local government. They can get Obama phones. They can get a lot of basic needs that are met, as opposed to somebody who is starving in Chechnya, you know, or in one of the Eastern republics over there where people are eating a carrot a day, right? So here in America, we have such prosperity that my theory goes, when you have this prosperity and you don't have to worry every minute of your life about your security making sure you're safe, your family's safe, that you have food to eat every single day that's wholesome and good food and gives you good energy. And you have shelter, right? So you have to worry about storms and rain and living in the gutter. Right? Once you cover those things and you cover them adequately enough, now you have time for the higher faculties. Now you have time to sit around and think about things and ponder things and ask questions and create things and do fun stuff, right? Because you have all your needs met. Well, our needs are met here in America. We have an abundance of everything. Now, not everybody. Not everybody's driving around in a Cadillac SUV in a seven-bedroom house on the beach. Of course not. But like I said, even the poor in America have an opportunity to have everybody's got a TV, everybody's got a cell phone, everybody's got food. You know, there's food banks. There's all kinds of things. Just because people don't avail themselves of those things or don't understand how to get to them, well, that's messaging and that's governmental problem. But there's food out there. Right, for everybody can eat. Everybody can have shelter. Nobody's forcing people to live in the park. Well, I'm sorry, we can't help you. You got to go live in a park under a tree with your family. Nobody's doing that. We're seeing that with the illegal immigrants that are coming here. They're putting them in 5-star hotels, giving them cell phones, giving them $1,000 a month gift cards. Right? There's so much prosperity in this country that I think it leads people to have the time to sit and think about things. And when they do, sometimes they think stupid things. Not everybody's a genius. You know, just because you can think or you have resources to sit around and think and come up with ideas doesn't mean your ideas are any good, make any sense, which is exactly expressed by the women on The View. All of them are making a lot of money being on TV. They had previous entertainment industry careers. They got a lot of money. And they sit around and like sports players or movie stars that make all this money. And they all of a sudden they think they're important. They think the stupid thoughts in their head are meaningful. And they have a platform to talk about it. So they come out and they do, and they pontificate on what they think about the world and what they think is what's right and what they think is good. And a lot of times, it's a bunch of drivel. It's nonsense. It's stupid. It's not based on facts. It's based on feelings. And a lot of those people obviously have a tendency to be on the left, to be progressive, to be liberal, to be socialist. And they live in these utopian worlds, these professors. A lot of them are out there they got ideas, but they never had any work. They never did anything. They never lived in the real world. They live in academia where they think of things. And if things would just be different, if we would just do this, it would be utopia. And we all know from life that that doesn't work. What does work is hard work, faith in God, family, and believing in your nation and loving your neighbor. That's what works. That's what makes a prosperous society that is also a decent society. So I just wanted to cover that a little bit here in our first little part of our get together. We'll be back for more in a minute.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill, it's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
All right, my friends, come on back in. Come on back in and sit down, relax. We have more time together here to think, to work through the things of the day, to talk about our world. See, it's important to have thoughts and to think, because we are a very, very prosperous nation. And do you see my point with that theory? My theory that we have this prosperity, which allows us to sit around and think, and that's where we get these 50,000 ideas, and now we're worrying about, you know, what bathrooms we should use, because we don't have to worry about feeding ourselves today. There's plenty of food. We have places to live. There's water. There's everything we need. Now, when you think about that, are we secure as we used to be? Don't we have a crime problem raging? We do. We have a crime problem raging. It's all based on policies of the government, of those who are in charge, and the different policies. So when we look at safety and security, that's one of Maslow's hierarchy of basic needs, right? When we look at that, people who live in communities where crime is outrageous, they worry about that every single day. We hear people talking about it. Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, he was saying how happy he was. Well, there's no crime in D.C. I can walk my dog right up to the Capitol if I have to do this and that. But he has a security detail, right? He's a Secretary of the United States government in the President's cabinet. Of course, he has a Secret Service detail, right? He's got security people so he can walk his dog. You try walking your dog through D.C., and you see the problems that you might have, or Baltimore, or New York, or Los Angeles, or San Francisco. You think you have a little bit of more difficulty. And then we find the neighborhoods within a city that in a crime is rampant in these cities all over the place. And then you go to some neighborhoods within that city, and it's even worse, right? There are people who when they leave their house, there's a chance that they're not going to come home because they're going to get robbed, raped, or murdered that day. Right? We have little children that are in their bedrooms playing or watching TV or doing something, and errant bullets from gangbangers come whipping through the walls and kill these children. We get people sitting on their porches who are murdered when they're outside because of errant gunfire and this and that. And it's not the guns. Okay, guns don't fire themselves. People do. But we have this outrageous crime going on, and that cuts out on our security. So I know I used to love going into New York in the time of Giuliani and Bloomberg, because they made the city safe. How did they do it? They had the police department was highly trained, highly motivated, and they were proactive. And the only thing that protects society, to keep society safe, is a proactive law enforcement agency. Well, we have had these idiot ideas from our friends on the left that the police are bad. The police are criminals. They're all racist. They just want to kill minorities. So what we've done, we've defunded police departments. We've taken resources away from them. We've cut down on their numbers. You can't get cops anymore. It's. I remember when I took the test, there were three jobs open in my town, and 350 or something applicants came out for the physical test. A couple of years later, we had, I think, 4 or 5 openings, and we had 600 or 700 people lining up. Now, I see ads in these law enforcement magazines where they're saying, you know, $10,000 signing bonus, we'll move you to our community, and plus we'll give you this starting pay, $75,000, you know? It's outrageous because they can't get people. Who wants to be a cop in today's world? You know, I talked to a lot of my retired buddies who are retired from law enforcement, and there was a time when you really wanted your son or daughter to follow your footsteps and be in law enforcement. You know, hey, I was in law enforcement, my father was in law, I want my son or daughter to be in law enforcement. It's a real familial kind of a calling, and it is a calling. You know, some people see it as a job, but for the most part, it's a calling. Not anymore. You know, I went through the period of time where we went from heroes to zeros and back again. You know, after 9/11, the police were very, very popular. It was a different time then. It was a different world. We were under a Republican governor. I mean, a Republican president who was a former governor, George Bush. And the country was strong and, you know, the economy was good and people wanted to be in law enforcement. People respected law enforcement. Well, there's still lots and lots of people do respect law enforcement, but there are also a lot of people who do not. And now they're very vocal. They're very loud. They have control, and especially in liberal cities where they have control of the town council, the mayor's office, whatever. And they do defund. They do break down. They do restrict what law enforcement can do. And that's fine. You know, the community, if the community wants law enforcement to back off, well, that's what the community wants. But then the community has to deal with the realities of what happens when you pull your cops back, when you tell your cops to back off. Then you get crime, right? Because people don't say, well, gee, look, cops have stopped arresting people for nonsense, so I'm gonna live my life now and be good. No, they say, hey, the cops aren't arresting us, and they go out and they rob, rape, murder, and steal even more. Right, it's common sense. Again, we have this common sense thing, right? That people just seem to ignore, and it seems to be the people on the left ignore this. Like, you hear all these people; they're so surprised that crime is up. You know, we gave people, it's more relaxed. We got the cops away from everybody harassing everybody, and now the crime is up. They can't understand why crime would go up, right? When you pull the cops away and you are not proactive, when you're simply reactive. So it's a strange place we're in America, and that's what I'm noticing. That's what I'm noticing. So many of you may know I do safety and security threat assessments. I go in, I assess buildings and companies and churches and schools, and I try and find, you know, understand their security profile, and I find the gaps in their security, and I help whatever organization it is close those gaps so they can be more safe. Well, the number of shootings in our country, mass shootings, you know, 4 or more people at a time get killed, and not all of them are active shooters. Most sometimes they're mass murder. Somebody goes in and kills a bunch of people and does it purposely, you know, as a mass murder. That's a little bit different than an active shooter, but still deadly, still very, very bad. Well, we're seeing this rise in shootings ever since the pandemic. We had a lot of psychological damage from that pandemic. And that's in the news again. We'll get to that, I think, in a couple of minutes. But the reality is this violence has increased. So when we think about active shooters, real active shooters, where people pop up and decide to kill or maim people in a school or a business or whatever, where they targeted it and they go after them, the numbers have doubled since the pandemic, real active shooter events, right? So recently in Las Vegas, in a lawyer's office, there was the players are interesting, and this group, I do have the names, but the names are not important to the story. But basically, you had a custody battle with a young woman, and her father or her father-in-law was representing her at the custody battle, and her former husband was represented, I think, by his father, right? And then as they're having this meeting, this guy shows up, the former husband of the girl, and shoots and kills her new husband, and somebody else, and then himself, and then kills himself, right? So these kind of murder suicides are on the rise when you have these emotional situations like custody battles. It's a custody battle. Right? It's a custody battle. What I've seen clearly in my career is that, you know, obviously marriages break up, they bust up, people go separate ways, but then they have to settle up the assets. They have to settle up the value, the money, right? It always comes down to the money, doesn't it? Everything comes down to money and value. And I do see lots and lots of people who will use the custody of the child as a weapon to attack the other person. And our courts are biased towards the female, towards the mother, that the mother will get the kids and the kids have to live in a nice house. So the mother and the kids will get the house. The father will get out. And he will pay for the house. He will pay. He will pay child support. Which, hey, they're his kids. He should take care of his kids. No doubt about it. They're your children. They're your responsibility. But our system is not what you would call equitable. Everybody wants equity, but it's not equitable. It's not fair. And I've seen lots of men that I know who are good men who had their children used against them. Right. I've had a couple of my friends that the ex-wife made accusations that the guy did bad things to the children and it dragged them through the courts, turning out they did not do those things, but they're a weapon. So it's unfair. But anyway, this is the kind of thing where you're in a lawyer's office and in comes these two different people. And this is not the first time this has happened, because this is a highly emotional, highly charged situation. There have been shootings like this, lots of them over the course of time, where somebody shows up at the lawyer's office and they blast the lawyer or they shoot the other person, or you see people in court, you know, there's social media. Now that we have social media, there's video of everything. Somebody in court and the perpetrator is getting sentenced or whatever, and the person pops up and shoots him, right? You know, because you're not getting justice, because our system is really goofed up. And I'm gonna go far afield here. So I'm trying to restrain myself and get back to my topic, because I'd lip around. But the bottom line is, these kind of shootings, they do take place in all of these different places. So when I teach about active shooters and awareness and response and all that, you know, we think about the number of active shooter incidences across the country. And we say, okay, we all think about the children in the school, you know, because they're the most vulnerable. They're children in a school. These are our kids in classrooms. And somebody comes in and shoots and kills these kids, right? That's horrible. But the reality is, there are things we can do, you know, and I see a range of response from some school districts who are absolutely take it serious and do the right thing, and other school districts that say, it'll never happen here, which is, of course, the most dangerous thing you can ever say, is that it will not happen here. So you can never be prepared enough, is what I look at. So we have to understand that there's this response in people when they don't feel they have justice, that they're going to go out and attack. Now, people that attack schools, there's lots of different reasons that people attack their classmates or their schools. They could be bullied, but they're not always kids who were bullied. Sometimes they're the bully. And, you know, we know bullies are also not adjusted well. That's why they're bullies. They do what they do for lots of psychological reasons. But when I see this, I say to myself, okay, why are people not taking it seriously? You know, 69% of businesses do not do anything adequate to protect their workplaces. You know, I'm doing a presentation pretty soon for a group of business personnel. Right, for business personnel, big event we're doing. It's probably 200 or something people coming, and I'm going to do a presentation on it's called Plan and Prepare for Violence in the Workplace. And basically, it's a statistics, because statistics help us to plan. Statistics can also teach us lessons. We let lessons learn from things that have happened before and how we can prepare for the future, and then how to go forward. What's a roadmap for making your facility more secure? And when I see these kind of attacks at a workplace, you know, one of the things that we do see, there was a study that was done that found, you know, these workplace attacks, which are much more prevalent than school place attacks. So that statistic right there, we should probably cover that. Of all of the active shooter incidents, 30% just about are in schools. The other 60% are in public places, businesses, restaurants, recreational facilities, religious facilities, all these kind of things. So we concern ourselves with the schools so much because they are the most vulnerable. They're little children, they're kids, right? And they can't do anything. But our businesses are also very, very vulnerable, and people don't do a lot. I know a friend of mine was with a very, very big company, and I said, what do you do? What do they do for you for training and preparing you for violence and this and that? And he says, they make us watch a video. I said, oh, is it any good? Well, you know, it gives you some ideas of what you could do, but, you know, I don't think it's great. It'd be better if somebody like you showed up. And I do. I go to places and I look at their facility, and then I train everybody. It's what I do. And it's interesting because when I talk to lots and lots of people at these facilities, I'll say to them, okay, you ever do a real lockdown drill here? And they're like, no, but we watched a video, or the security director talked to us one day about what we should do. But I don't know where to go in this building. I don't really know what's safe. We've never done it, right? So my point being here is that we're not prepared enough in this country, and these things are happening more and more, just like in the lawyer's office. One of the things I can tell everybody right now, first of all, if anybody out there has a business and you have any questions, you can email me. You can send me a message. You can get to me. There's a way on the platform now, AmericaOutloud.news. You can now go there and you could send me an email and a question. I don't mind answering questions about safety and security. I never mind doing that. So you can reach out to me and talk about it. If there's something that you need to do in your place, you need to, you know, I suggest, first of all, you put it in an email so you have a paper trail. That you say, hey, listen, why don't we do something? Why don't we do practice? What are our plans? That kind of thing. That's how you make your workplace safer. But de-escalation training, everybody needs de-escalation training, and a lot of places don't do it. And you see these tragedies over, over, and over again. And lawyers' offices are a place where I've seen these kind of things happen. Not just this, like a custody dispute or a marriage thing. We're breaking up the family and who's getting the assets and who's upset by it. But also things like criminals come to their attorney. I can't tell you how many times a criminal would go to the attorney's office, and this is a very serious criminal, dangerous person, and they're in an office at 6 o'clock at night with the attorney by themselves. And there's threats made, and there's all kinds of things that are done because you're dealing with criminals, you know. So they're dangerous places, and we don't worry enough about security. So along that line, recently, there's been a report that's saying the number of attacks in churches has gone up astronomically, and especially Christian churches, right? Because it's okay to hate Christians. That's an okay thing, right? We can hate the Jews again. That's good. You know, people are out there hating Jews all over the place now. That seems to be very popular, but it's okay to hate Christians too. You know, Jesus and all that. You can hate those people because they want to stop you from doing your abortions. They want to stop you from, you know, doing whatever, whatever the thinking is in this modern twisted world we're in. But the number of attacks in churches is going up. Interesting that we have to be prepared when we go to church, right? And churches don't do a lot, right? Churches don't do a lot. I go into churches and I've looked at churches, and I've looked at the schools that are attached to some churches to give them ideas, and they really don't do a lot, which is really frightening. So everybody should get an assessment and get trained, their staff trained, be to go. But I read this article recently. You know, the FBI, as corrupt as the leadership is, as twisted as things have become with our federal law enforcement, where they're used as tools of the administration, they still have men and women who are in the field doing the work, the actual law enforcement work, that are good and decent men and women and agents. And recently in, I think it was Idaho, there was a guy named Alex Mercurio. Now, Alex Mercurio is a young man who, for whatever twisted reason, identifies with ISIS. You know, our old enemy, ISIS. You know, he identifies with them, and he wants to become a part of ISIS. And he started interacting with members of ISIS America, and telling the people in the foreign countries where ISIS is based that he wants to be a member and he wants to strike out at Americans and he wants to do all this stuff. And he particularly wanted to attack his local church. Right. So the person, of course, that he gets put in touch with is an undercover FBI agent, and he starts making plans. He had a specific church. He had a specific plan how he was going to attack them. He was going to use knives and explosives and fire and guns, and he wanted to go in and wipe out the church people. And he pledged his allegiance to ISIS, and the FBI did a very good job. They swooped in and they got him before he could go and do that. The point being is that it's real. These attacks on churches are increasing. When we have a society that tells you to hate the police are bad for untrue reasons, and then you get told that religion, especially the Christians, are bad because they want to stop you from having your abortions. They want to stop you from killing your babies. They're wrong. They're bad. Right? When people have that messaging constantly going on, you start to get people like this Mercurio guy who decides America is bad, America is horrible, and I'm going to strike out against them, right? This is the kind of thing that happens. This is the consequence of having this kind of discourse in your country. And it is not stopped. We got our president who's running around now appeasing all these pro-Palestinian people because he's losing some votes in Michigan, and he just wants to stay in power. So he's going to appease people who are supporting a terrorist organization because he needs to stay in power, right? A real leader would tell those people to stop, right? A real leader would say Hamas is a horrific terrorist organization. ISIS is bad, right? And all we hear is we're going to go after white supremacy, right? I think those people who call themselves white supremacists, these neo-Nazi groups, I think they're nuts too. And if they're committing crimes, then we should investigate them and hold them accountable. But if they're just marching around their farm, doing Zeke Heil, and they're not committing any crimes, they have a free speech right to do that. Do I think they're crazy for that, belief? I do. But if they're committing crimes, like our president tells us, they're the number one thing to fear in America is white supremacy. Then I say go after them. Send in undercovers. Go find them. And if they're going to do bad things, lock them up. Right? We don't want crazy people running around hurting anybody. But that's not really the case. Otherwise, wouldn't we see mass arrests? We went to Jonestown, Happy Town in Idaho, where there were 300 white supremacists marching around with Nazi flags ready to attack the local government. We arrested them all. You don't hear that, though, do you? No. What white supremacy has come to mean is not those neo-Nazi groups that march around and do rallies and all that stuff. White supremacy has come to mean anything traditional in America. Anything of a religious nature has become white supremacy, right? And it's a cover term. Words mean things, and people use words historically to change. I mean, didn't we have Bidenomics? Remember Bidenomics? Until everybody realized it's not catching on. The message, the idea of Bidenomics was everything's going great. It's because of Joe Biden. Bidenomics. Until everybody realizes that. It's not that good for the average person whose everything has gone up 17% to 24%. People can't afford it. They can't afford to live, to put food on their table. Back to Maslow, right? You got to have food, shelter, and all that. And people are getting upset by that. So they stopped using Biden. Words mean things. Words mean things. So we got to be careful when we're out there. So this Mercurio guy is this, he pledged his allegiance to ISIS and he's going to attack a church. Well, how many known terrorists have gotten into our country through the open border? Well, we know there's quite a few, hundreds, as a matter of fact, that have gotten in. And then there are a million or so gotaways that we don't know who they are coming into this country, right? And this guy wants to attack churches. Well, if there's one, there's another, right? That's one of the things life teaches you. So if you got a crazy person like this, they're going to attack churches. The attacks on churches themselves, like I said, have gone up. People attacking the priest or the rabbi in the middle of a service. It's a growing threat to all of us. Do you go to church? I know a lot of people on this network do. A lot of people are good God-fearing people. Do you have a plan what to do if someone attacked your church? Say you're sitting there in the pews and you're going through the service and then all of a sudden you hear somebody screaming at the back of the church and in they come with a rifle. Has happened lots of times, right? We know about this. Do you have a plan for you and your family? Do you have any idea what you would do? Do you know where the exits are, right? What do you do, right? What do you do? So all of these things in our modern world are important for us to think about. And that shooting at the law office is just it's just one example of the danger that we have and we're not prepared, right? So I said I would talk about, I hope I'm not going too fast for everybody. I only get an hour. I only get an hour a day. So I have to, you know, pack it all in here. COVID-19, which the pandemic, like I said earlier about the violence, has really affected our country. It's affected our work lives, right? Don't we have this whole new generation of people who do not want to go to the office? They will take a job as long as it's remote. And I've spoken to young people about this, and they're like, well, I got three offers, and two of them were all remote. So, of course, I'm taking one of them. Why would I go to that office every day? There's workspace in New York and all these big cities that they can't rent out because you have to comply, right? We have to move along with how society changes. And this is one of the things the pandemic brought to us. But a story just came out that apparently there were 15 of our intelligence agencies who knew all about the plans for the Chinese government to create a COVID-19-like virus in the Wuhan lab. Matter of fact, it's almost an exact replica of COVID-19. They knew they were going to do it, but nobody came forward and said anything about it. So you have to say, what's the big deal with not telling the truth about where it came from? Now, again, common sense. Common sense. When I saw this, and I said it started in the city where they have a virological laboratory where they do experimental viruses and whatnot. Of course it came from there. That has to be your 90% hypothesis. It came from there because they make viruses like that. Okay, 10% it came from the wet market where they eat bats or whatever they do over there. But 90%, you have to say to yourself, that's where it came from because that's pretty obvious. And now they're saying that these agencies knew that this information was out there and nobody came forward. Again, a twisted, twisted world we're living in. It's hard to trust these organizations, these parts of our government that we used to rock ribbed. We believed it. You know, the FBI, the CIA, these were people who were, you know, acting for our good, really. And now, if you're of the wrong political persuasion, they will turn that on you. And are you going to fight the government? You're not going to fight the government. You're just going to move along, right? So we're in a twisted, strange place, and I don't want to end it on that. But I have to say our little get-together for today is quickly drawing to a close. But that COVID-19, we all knew it, and it really changed our whole world and especially our country. So we have to be smarter in the future and not just believe everything you're told. You have to be skeptical and get facts, all right? So I want to thank everybody for being here. We will see you down the road. And remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.